The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
Good morrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. Well, we knew this day would come, Elgernon. The MTA board officially voted to implement congestion pricing yesterday. Not a surprise. And there were two comments that really stood out from the MTA board members. First, my new hero, the one man that voted against this. It was 11-1 in favor of this. And there was one man on the board, David Mack, that voted against it. And he expressed my concerns pretty adequately.
My concern is a vibrant city coming out of COVID, the vacancy rate of office buildings, the major companies leaving New York.
The other comment that really stood out to me was MTA board member Norman Brown, who thanks, of all people, Andrew Cuomo.
I wanted to thank, ex-Governor Cuomo at some point for pushing this through, but in the short term, his support has gone the other way. But I'm hoping that 5 years from now, Andrew Cuomo is bragging, I put this thing in. You know, I drove a stake in the heart of congestion in Midtown Manhattan.
Now, I know he didn't mean it this way, but I hope these comments are played again and again if Andrew Cuomo runs for mayor of New York City or any other office. Because what Andrew Cuomo did in pushing this congestion pricing is drive a stake through the heart of middle class taxpayers and people that live in places that aren't well served by mass transit. Congestion pricing has been a fait accompli ever since the state legislature approved this plan 5 years ago. I am rooting for these court challenges, both from the New Jersey elected officials and from Staten Island Borough President Vito Fasella, along with the NAACP and the UFT. But we'll see what happens, because this is going to be awful. Under this scheme that they just approved, people that have the misfortune of living in communities that don't have adequate mass transit options are now going to pay exorbitant fees, $15 a day, for transit improvements in communities that already have adequate transit. At the very least, the MTA could have been truthful about this being simply a money grab, rather than pretending it's about helping common folks get into Manhattan and reduce traffic congestion. This has nothing to do with traffic congestion. It's just another tax.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
Tomorrow, everyone. This is The Other Side of Midnight on 77 WABC. I'm superstar Frank Morano. This is a public service announcement that could make you a great deal of money. Listen and listen good. More than $1 billion owed to U.S. taxpayers is about to disappear. And by disappear, it means instead of the people that are owed this money getting it, the government is just going to claim it. So unless the 940,000 people owed money by the IRS claim their 2020 refunds by May 17th, this money goes away. And this includes a large number of New Yorkers. Here's the word from IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel. There's money remaining on the table for hundreds of thousands of people who haven't filed 2020 tax returns. We want taxpayers to claim these refunds, but time is running out for people who may have overlooked or forgotten about these refunds. So under ordinary circumstances, taxpayers have 3 years to collect refunds before the money they're owed becomes the property of the U.S. Treasury. But due to delays caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, the window for 2020 returns was extended. The IRS estimates more than 51,000 New Yorkers are owed money yet to be collected. That comes out to nearly $61 million. Only three other states, Texas, California, and Florida, have more citizens in danger of contributing to the federal government in a way that they probably would not have intended. So uncollected monies waiting to be claimed aren't just from wage deductions. Some lower incomes should should be eligible for an earned income tax credit. But the IRS is noting that some people expecting a 2020 refund won't see one if they failed to file tax returns in 2021 and 2022. Please check, especially if you're someone that did not file a tax return in 2020, 2021, and 2022, you may have money coming to you. Why let the federal government have it? See if this money belongs to you.
Beam me up.
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
A lot of people have talked about the Donald Trump criminal cases, and certainly this is a national issue, but it's also very much a local issue because one of the first criminal cases, actually the first criminal case to go to trial, will take place in New York, and the judge presiding over that case is Juan Merchan. I believe this is totally inappropriate. I've called on Judge Merchan to recuse himself because he actually went so far as to make campaign contributions to President Biden, something that judges aren't allowed to do anyway, let alone against the opponents of people that are defendants in their courtroom. But that's another matter, and clearly nobody agreed with me on that, at least nobody that matters. And in any event, he has instituted a gag order, Judge Merchan has, that prohibits President Trump from commenting publicly about witnesses, prosecutors, court staff, and jurors. This is insane. I mean, he can't talk about witnesses. Michael Cohen, who's likely to be a witness in this case. Stormy Daniels, who's likely to be a witness in this case. The guy's running for president, and these are public figures, Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels. And he's not going to be able to comment on this. The former president posted on social media that the gag order was illegal, un-American, and unconstitutional, and said that the judge was wrongfully attempting to deprive him of his First Amendment right to speak out against the weaponization of law enforcement. Now, sometimes President Trump can go a little too far on social media. On this one, I think this is absolutely right. I think this is a blatantly unconstitutional gag order, and the level of what they call prior restraint that Judge Merchan is instituting here is absurd. I suspect this gag order may be undone on appeal. And I've seen similar gag orders in a lot of other high-profile cases. The Gotti case comes to mind, where basically there was an attempt by Gotti's lawyer, Jeffrey Lichtman, to have Curtis Sliwa gagged. And the judge in that case, Shira Shendlin, basically said no, that it would be completely inappropriate to gag Curtis Sliwa from talking about anything, including the case, because that's how he makes his living, and it would be an infringement upon the First Amendment. I'm paraphrasing it because it was a complicated order that had many facets to it. This is the same thing. The guy is running for president, and to say that he can't talk about public figures that are integral to this election, that have testified before Congress, as in the case of Michael Cohen, it's insane and blatantly unconstitutional. Whether you like Trump or hate Trump, you can't think this gag order is okay.
Beam me up!
To be continued.
The Other Side of Midnight.
77 WABC.
Local Spotlight.
We have chronicled in these commentaries Steve Ballone, the former Suffolk County executive who is now getting a lucrative, well-paying job with Northwell Health, and his failures, quite frankly, as Suffolk County executive. I think, quite frankly, the fact that he was such a terrible county executive is one of the reasons the Republicans now control the legislature and all of the countywide positions, DA and county executive and controller in Suffolk County. And we are seeing that the current DA, Ray Tierney, who I think is doing a great job, is now investigating the former county executive for allegedly destroying county data before leaving office last year. Now, it's just an investigation at this point. Steve Ballone is not charged with any crimes, but This is very suspicious, especially given Steve Ballone's role in protecting and hiring and promoting the disgraced former Suffolk County Police Chief James Burke. But now the DA's office is investigating allegations that members of the Ballone administration improperly destroyed and removed county data as they were leaving office. This is not their property. This is the public's property. And the DA has been asking to investigate whether such duplication or destruction was intentional or inadvertent, and whether criminal charges under computer tampering or trespass laws are appropriate. So they say that they've confirmed, the DA's office has confirmed the existence of criminal investigations, but noted that they're not saying what specifically they're looking for at the moment. I think this is crazy. The Suffolk County Comptroller, John Kennedy, said several county employees told him emails were destroyed and county equipment was deactivated. This is a total misuse of public property. And given how shady Steve Ballone and his associates have been, I'm left asking the question, what are they trying to hide? Why did they go hog wild destroying all of these records? And didn't some of them at least have to know that they were bound to be caught? Because emails are a two-way street. So I think this is a very interesting case that I think you're going to hear a great deal about. Former Suffolk County Executive Steve Levy, who's been a guest on this show before, who preceded Ballone, said the notion of leaving files and other information behind was considered a common courtesy when he took and left office. Well, apparently it's a courtesy that Steve Ballone does not adhere to.
Beam me up!
To be continued.